This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to our podcast series, Better Ways to Train on Litigation Support and eDiscovery Applications. My name is Jillian Glass. I'm Director of Legal Services at Farrell, Brown & Martell in San Francisco. With us today, we have Ethan Hirsch of iPro.
Hello.
Ethan, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for inviting me and having me share my experience and obviously talk about training with some eDiscovery products as well as mostly concentrating on trial. But my name is Ethan Hirsch. A background about myself in regards to the industry would be that I started off in the law firm setting as a paralegal assistant. So litigation prep, case management, getting witnesses ready for depositions, binders, hot docs, you know, basically manually redacting. We didn't have any e-discovery tools, electronic e-discovery tools or platforms to use. It was all manual. Mm-hmm. So give it up to the manual redactions and OCRing and all that stuff.
White tape.
Yeah. A lot of manual operations. But I got my experience for about 2 years in the law firm setting. So working with cases, prepping for trial, working under an outstanding paralegal, and just kind of learning the trades of business. And then during my stay at the law firm, I also was going to school to get my paralegal certificate at Phoenix College. So I got my certificate, passed all my exams, and I did really well, obviously, in school and thought I was going to be a paralegal as my next step. But I actually then got recruited by Indata Corporation, whom were the makers of Trial Director. So Trial Director 6, mm-hmm. as well as Timecoder Pro, a lot of the litigation or trial-related software programs for litigation. So I got recruited by one of their team members, Ben Warney. He was the manager of the educational department and head of training, as well as he was a trial consultant. So we got recruited. We kind of trained myself up on the software, kind of learned the trial side of things in regards to being a trial tech, as well as how to be a trainer. And I've been doing the trainings and also trial tech consulting pretty much ever since. So for about almost four years now, was with Indata Corporation, who then were acquired by iProtech, who make eDiscovery. Right. And so now we do a little bit of both, mainly concentrating on trial, but I also do e-discovery trainings as well. So kind of have the best of both worlds. And you kind of have that side of the EDRM going from basically, you know, document prep or e-discovery and kind of processing documents, reviewing documents, and then all the way through trial. Mm-hmm. So it's a really nice experience. I've been training on it for about 4 years and then obviously 2 years prior with the law firm. So about 6 years total, I would say.
But you have actually done work as a trial tech.
I have, yeah. So that was
that's great.
That was something I specifically requested, was to obviously get the best of both worlds. So, you know, believe it or not, as a PA and as a paralegal, we would prep and do all this work for trial, but maybe I was the good luck charm. And we ended up settling pretty much most of our cases for employment law, which, I mean, is not unrealistic. It's pretty much pretty standard with most litigation practices that you're going to probably settle before you even end up in court. I think it's 99% settle prior to court, actually. So only 1% actually go to trial. But yeah, so I wanted to actually work as a trial tech. So I did some trials, I did some hearings, but also with our trainings, and we can kind of probably cover this later on, but a lot of our trainings also incorporate preparing live cases for trial as well. So we don't just train on the software. It's much more than training, but it's also a consultative type of environment to which we consult on the software, as well as we basically tell them or work with the teams to how to create the cases, both in the software as well as prior to the software, organize documents, case manage. And then obviously we go in and create their real life case using their real life documents. So all the evidence that you would normally import in, documents, JPEGs, PNGs, PDFs mostly, TIFFs obviously. And then you have the transcript related files, the digital video transcripts, the text files, the PDF right. files of transcripts. So
pretty you're training on best practices as well as...
Yeah, best practices, workflows, and you know, we'll probably cover this later on, but every training is actually fairly unique because every practice is different. You might walk into a plaintiff's firm or you might walk into a defense firm. Also, the actual practice of the defense firm might be concentrating more on employment law or med-mal. Obviously, med-mal you're going to have incorporated with a lot of images, you know, let's say x-ray, CT scan, stuff like that, a lot of Excel spreadsheets from the hospitals, patient information. So the different types of documents also changes. And then you kind of have to morph.
How you train? Okay. So yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk a little bit about sort of what you have canned and what you have to customize matter by matter. I think, you know, thinking about our audience is probably a lot of sort of corporate and law firm folks who are trying to set up a training program on their eDiscovery software or their trial software or their transcript software. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things we think about a lot is, you know, how much can you just set a baseline and have canned pre-recorded stuff versus how much do you need to customize depending on the matter, depending on the team, depending on the level. So I'm wondering where you've struck that balance with your training practices.
Yeah. So it's obviously kind of investigating prior to actually stepping foot within that law firm or corporate setting, or if they were to come to our location as well, as talking to the customer and asking them, you know, A, what are they looking for in a presentation, and who they are. So are they plaintiffs? Are they defendants? So you kind of get a general understanding of a basis of who the trainees will be. Also, what their position is or what their role is within the law firm setting or the corporate setting. So getting familiar with what exactly they're working with. So is it lit support? Are they paralegals? Are they attorneys? Are they managing partners? You can walk into an environment and it can be anyone. So when you actually...
But you would tailor your training then based on that? I guess that's my question.
So
would you tailor your... So you wouldn't train a paralegal the same way you'd train an attorney, and you wouldn't train a plaintiff the same way you'd train a defendant?
For the most part, it's pretty much you have the standard practice and workflows that you're going to be giving the trainee. So with the paralegals, though, if they're going to be the actual hot seaters, the trial tech, you know, in-house, then you want to really concentrate on the elements of case management as well as presentation. If you're training the attorneys, which a majority of the time the attorneys are not really there to learn to develop the case and manage the case, they're there for the presentation aspect of it. So if you're training attorneys as well as paralegals in the same office, then you're going to concentrate your training to both case management and case creation, as well as the presentation aspect. But you're going to also inform the attorneys, this is how you can present. This is what you can do with the software, to give them more of a visual cue on what the presentation actually looks like. But if it's just paralegals, you want to enforce them that once you get the documents ready to go, this is how you would manage those documents. This is how it makes it easier for you to present. This is what you can do with the software. This is how you can use the presentation screen as a means to present. Colors, in regards to attorneys, they're more interested in like how things look. So what does a color tell you? Red, green, and yellow. Obviously positive, neutral, and negative. Those are things that you want to tell an attorney because those are impressive notes to enforce, because they're all about the show. Versus if you have a lit support person or a paralegal, you want to give them the aspect of how to develop the case over time and how to really make sure that when the attorney is asking for that document, the paralegal or the lit support team member, the trial tech who's going to be working in-house, really knows how to call up that document as fast as possible. And if the attorney wants specific things done to that document, then they know how to do that. So it's kind of like morphing the training, but you still incorporate all aspects of the material for every single representative within that training environment. So, and then obviously it's not just the law firms that we're training or the corporate organizations, but it's also the vendors too. So like the actual trial techs themselves that work as a vendor. Mm. So you might have a videographer, you might have a court reporting agency, you might have just a trial tech firm, you know, that you have to give them the goods, you know, because they're there not to really develop the case. They're there specifically to take the documents, to take the evidence, to create a case, to create an environment that they know that they can easily present with when called upon. So now we're talking about the faster ways of doing things, the more efficient ways of doing things. We still incorporate that in a general law firm setting and training, but the people that are there just to present, obviously they want to look good. So you want to give them the best of the presentation aspect, the bread and butter of the program, but still obviously incorporate that bread and butter aspect with your paralegals and the attorneys and stuff like that. So it is kind of based on who the audience is, but also what their role specifically is within litigation. So there's a lot of avenues to consider, and we can be training and more people come in the training room, and we'll kind of have to change things up on the fly, as well as just based on question and answers or what they want to see within the program. We might concentrate more on transcript management versus document management, because if they're heavy on depositions, then you want to really give them everything you can within the time frame that you're allotted dealing with transcripts and kind of managing those transcripts.
So is most of your training done in person? Do you do training virtually as well?
Yeah, we do. So we offer a few different types of courses. For a majority of the trial software related trainings and consultations, we do a lot of those on site. So we have to be there with the customer.
So you're flying somewhere?
Okay. So we're flying there on site, or they're coming to our location, and it's either like a 1 day or a 2 day training where it's basically just you and the trainees. As you know, trials...
And you're working on their systems, generally?
Yeah, we can be working in their environment, or they can work in our environment, because we do introduce hardware in regards to how are you presenting, how are you connecting. You know, there's different jurisdictions and different courts that require different types of technology and hardware. So we kind of have to ask them, hey, what is your system set up and what type of hardware you have? And, you know, we have to sometimes physically show them how to connect their device from one machine to another. So, and it's also very, very last minute. So the 1 day or 2 day on-sites or on-site at our location as well are very in-depth and very intense in terms of material, the hardware, management of their documents, even before trial, as well as during trial and after trial. And then it's just because it's very last minute, like they need everything right then and there. If they have time, then we also have a kind of like an introductory course. It's like a webinar series where we do like a Zoom meeting and we have them just log in, just like what I'm doing with you guys. And we basically just cover the intros of the product, the how-tos and the workflows and stuff like that, but at its basic form. But when we're on site, it's very advanced because, you know, we're also lending our experience as a trial tech, as well as experience as, you know, a paralegal, case manager. So we're bringing all aspects of the law firm setting, you know, in front of your audience. So they can relate. So lit support as well, trial techs, videographers. We have a lot of experience from the training side.
When you're training for non-trial things, does that tend to be more virtual? So say you're training somebody in Eclipse SE, is that more likely to be an online training?
Yeah, more than likely it'll like via webinar or like a Zoom meeting. Because
and
obviously
sort of how long are those trainings usually?
We have different types. We have like an onboarding. So if they were to just purchase the product, we have like not really, I don't want to say the word pre-scheduled, but we have a listed out time frame to which you would have like hour or an hour and a half session to cover, let's say, case creation, and then you have processing, ingestion, reviewing on the desktop side, stuff like that. So it's kind of spread out a little bit. It's obviously based on, you know, the time frame of the client and what they're looking for. And you know, with e-discovery, it's not so much as a rush as trial is. So they kind of have time. We do offer the on-sites as well. And that would be just, you know, 1 day or a 2 day, really based on what they're looking for in terms of what they want to learn or how they want to develop the case and specific workflows and stuff like that. So,
do you feel like there's a certain time at which point people just stop learning, stop absorbing?
Yeah, probably.
You know, is it better? I was thinking about that. You know, is it better to break things up into chunks? Is it better to just say, no, you're going to be absorbed in this for a whole day?
To be honest with you, I probably say around, from my experience of doing this for about 4 years now, I'd probably say around the 6 hour mark, you're kind of losing the attention. But it is different between an on-site and a webinar, because a webinar, usually they're a lot shorter sessions. You know, that might be an hour to 2 hours of online, you know, how-tos and workflows. So you kind of have their attention for basically just that time frame. But when you have their full attention for 6 hours or 8 hours, you know, a full day, you know, it's a lot of information, especially on the trial side, because they're under the gun. They're in a lot of pressure, obviously. Right. And the attorneys are really hounding them for, hey, I need this. Like I've been on a lot of trainings where the paralegals are being pulled out left and right because they have other stuff right. they got to do.
Yeah, that's what I've worried about with trial trainings is, you get.
And it is what it is at that point. There's nothing that I can do. It's the environment that you work in and you just kind of roll with it. But, you know, you do what you can. And I'd say on average around the 6.5 hour mark of actual material, they're kind of fading a little bit. So it's also based on the audience too. Because of the pressure, they might want to sit there for the full time and learn everything they can within that one day. And if it's only set for one day, that's all they got. So we'll do our very best mm-hmm. to give them all the workflows and the material as, you know, in terms of the how-tos and working with documents beforehand and during trial and stuff like that. But we can only do so much within a time frame that we're given. So it's really based on the circumstances. But generally speaking, around 6.5 or 6 hours or so, you know, if it's like a 2 day, we'll say, okay, you know, let's cut this off right here. This is a good stopping point, and we'll continue on with tomorrow's session with, you know, transcript management. And then we'll go on from there. That's a little bit easier environment to work with, but there's always that point where you start losing them because it's just
right.
it's so heavy on the information, and it's not just software. It's more than software. We have to basically tell them how to go to trial. You know, it's more than just the clicks. It's a lot more thinking outside the box and the what ifs, you know, and when they're under the pressure, man, it's they have to really kind of dig in and learn as much as they can. And, you know, it might be a rookie going to trial or it might be a veteran, but there's always something new to learn. So
one thing I know when you're going to trial is that there's a question of, you know, do I just want to learn how to do these three things that I might have to do? Do we try to kind of narrow it so there's one way to do things, or are you giving people options on how to do things? I think that's something that I've struggled with a lot sort of in my work is, you know, I can show you four different ways to redact, but maybe I should really only show you one.
Yeah, it's based on the audience. So if they're brand new to the software and brand new to trial, you want to make sure that they feel comfortable, obviously, in the product and the program and the workflows, but you don't want to overdo it with the, you know, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps of doing the same thing. When it comes to a person that has maybe been to trial before and has used the software but didn't really use it effectively, then you're kind of going into the more advanced ways. Like you have 5 different ways of doing the same thing. But in reality, what the trainee is, whether you're a rookie or you're brand new to trial, you're brand new to the software, you're brand new to the environment as a paralegal or trial tech, you're always going to want the most efficient way of doing something. So we do start off slow and we'll say, hey, this is the basic way of doing it, but then let's bump it up a little bit and let's do it this way. And usually when we start giving them alternatives and faster ways of doing something, they actually want to continue that route of doing that same thing because it's faster and it's more efficient and it's more effective. So mm-hmm. even if they forget the more advanced way, they still have a general basic way of doing the same thing. Though it might take them a little bit longer, they can still get the result that they want.
Great. In terms of working with, so you're coming in from outside and you're teaching a couple people who are going to trial. Do you ever do sort of a train the trainer thing where maybe you're teaching, I guess, and maybe this is some of your work with the vendors where you're teaching, you know, a lit support staff or you're teaching a vendor sort of the advanced way and then you're having them train?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, coming out as like a vendor myself, as a trainer and consultant, you really have a different audience for every type of training environment. So yeah, we might be training someone actually going to trial, going to court, arbitration, mediation, a hearing, a deposition, trial, whatever. Or you might be going to an onsite and you're training the lit support team member or a vendor that's going to use their knowledge now after we leave to train other people. So we have certification courses, certified trainer courses that you can use, you know, for obviously marketing purposes, as well as your own training, if you would like to set that up. And obviously, if you have a good clientele, or if you work with clients in law firms, yeah, by all means, you can train other people. We're not going to stop you doing that.
Yeah, I guess. Tell me a little bit about the certified trainer process. That sounds
Yeah, sure. So we do have some prerequisites. Obviously, we want you to own the software, as well as we want you to be in the software. Yeah, no freebies. So we want you to obviously own the software and be using the software for a set amount of time. And then we offer two types of certifications. We offer an administrator certification, and that's basically just your general admin. Obviously, for it kind of the admin word itself kind of translates more for the e-discovery, not so much with the trial, but the certification is for all our software. So we have a certified admin who basically is certified on the product, administering the product, using the product, and specifically related to trial. Obviously, you're presenting, so you're comfortable in the presentation screen as well, basically all aspects of the product itself. You have to take an online exam, and 75 questions, multiple choice, true, false, stuff like that. And it's timed. And once you pass that, you also have a practical. So you have to basically design, build a case, manage your case, as well as in regards to the trial software, you have to present it. And you have to do certain things, customizations of the software as well, dealing with settings and whatnot. But once you pass the practical and the online exam, then you're certified as an admin. So once you're certified admin, you have the option, if you want to elect to go to trainer. Trainer, the only difference between that and the admin would be that you have to train the trainer, which is train us. So you have different scenarios that you have to cover. And we don't send those out way before. Obviously, our customers don't have the scenarios, so they don't know exactly what's coming. We'll basically send it to them, you know, a couple days prior or the day prior for them to see the scenarios. And then they can use that as a way to practice and, you know, talk in front of a mirror. And then when it comes time to the actual administering the scenario portion, they basically just use those scenarios as a baseline to retrain us. So if it's like case creation, then they have to train us on how to create a case. And they also have to utilize different means to create cases. So not, you know, they're not going to show us just the basics. They have to go through the workflows and the understanding of case creation, the different processes of case creation. They'll have to talk about the files that you're using for case creation and everything that you would use to basically be successful in that scenario. So, and then once they successfully train us on those five scenarios, then they're certified as a trainer.
So how many people are certified as trial director trainers?
For trial director six, there'd probably be a couple hundred at least nationwide as well as internationally. And then for version 360, trial director 360, there's only a few that are certified. It's a lot of people that were previously certified in six that have went through the upgrade process and got certified in version six that wanted to be certified in 360. So we did an upgrade process for them. And then it's the 360 version is new. So once more people start purchasing the product and working with it and want to become trainer certified or admin certified, then they'll probably start requesting those certifications.
So let's move a little bit and talk about some of the other software you train on, desktop software like Eclipse. I was thinking a lot of the market for Eclipse SE is people that were maybe concordance or summation firms, and now they're moving to a different product. So talk to me a little bit about how you develop materials for that and how you say, this is how you used to do things, this is how we're doing it now, or are you just kind of starting from scratch and saying, forget everything you ever knew?
Yeah, I would say that the workflows are more or less the same. Obviously, you're going to be you're going to be creating the case. In terms of the setup as well, you have the system administrator, you have the case admins, and you have the users. And we do have a customized agenda that we usually tend to follow for brand new users, whether they're previous concordance users or they're coming over from summation and they're learning obviously Eclipse SE for the very first time. So you want to make sure that they understand the specific workflows that you might have to use for just that software. But mm-hmm. a lot of times that they'll have questions like, oh, in Concordance we did this, or Concordance allowed us to do that. And then we'll have to think of workflows for Eclipse SE to, you know, kind of translate over to what you're doing it, how you're doing it now to what you were doing, how you were doing it before, stuff like that. So there are customizations within the agendas as well as who the customers are and the type of files that they're working with. But there are a lot of very similar workflows as well. So, and there are some differences in the software, you know, some key differences like page level and document level tagging versus just document level tagging. Just page level tagging, stuff like that. So you kind of have to talk about those types of deals and kind of explain, oh, you can do this and you can't do that, or you can do this and you can't do that, stuff like that. So
do you have a lot of written materials developed around training on the desktop software? Or
yeah, absolutely. So
do you kind of canned little bits? Do you guys have classes periodically?
Yeah, so
pre-recorded.
We have like not really pre-recorded sessions, like full-on trainings, but we do have some video and tutorials that we have available on what's called My iPro that you can mm-hmm. use as a resource center to not really download files or videos, but to view videos online. And for the eDiscovery as well as trial, you obviously have the administrator packet. So you can basically download a 500-page packet and you can look through that entire admin manual. Do you also have an online resource center that you can do keyword search entries either locally on the desktop or on MyiPro? And we also have study guides too that you could download to help you basically create a case. For trial specifically, as well as we are developing a new one for some of the newer applications that we're going to have available coming up soon. But for Trial Director 6 and for Trial Director 360, we have a exercise packet. And that...
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So I co-wrote that one. We basically have a lot of images. We have a lot of workflows. We basically have a way for you to create a case, manage a case, and present a case all within a packet, as well as all the system requirements, supported files, the workflows, the how-tos. We have question and answers. But that is a great source to help guide the trainees when we're on site or if we're in-house, because they actually have something physical to look at. So mm-hmm. It's also used as a means to refresh their memory because they can take that packet home with them as well. So it's like a...
And so that's built on a sample case?
Yeah, so it's built on a sample case to which we have sample files that coordinate with the exercise packet that would basically incorporate a traditional...
Is it the Enron data, or did you develop your own sample case?
We developed our own sample case. So we have good. Some... We have. No, we
I'm
actually...
I'm a little tired of that Enron data.
Yeah, I did download the Enron data, but it was just... Nah, I just couldn't work with it. So what we have is a sample case. We have PDFs, we have TIFFs, we have JPEGs, PNGs, we have text files, we have deposition files, synchronized depositions... we have demonstratives.
So how long did that take you to develop a sample case? Because I think that's one thing. I think we all think it would be great to do, but once you actually start trying to do it and make everything anonymous, it's not easy to...
It's honestly because I was so comfortable with the product and I kind of knew the workflows, myself and my team as well. It was really easy to develop because we knew what we wanted. We knew what we wanted to train on specifically. And we knew the how-tos and the specific workflows that our customers would want to use. So in terms of the material, the packet, that was easy. And then once we developed the packet, we kind of coordinated those sample files with the packet itself. So the naming conventions, the exercises themselves, like, you know, the listings of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, import this, drag and drop this, right click this, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And then we just kind of just started typing based on the files that we've been imported in. So based on, for example, we use a Michael Poley deposition that was synchronized. He's a well, if you've been through one of our trainings, you would definitely know who Michael Poley is. And what we do is based on his deposition, we had to cut it down to size, obviously. But, you know, there's specific things from that deposition that we're actually using in our training. So objections, long pauses, multimedia breaks, we have to use some of those elements as well as some of, you know, the key words that were mentioned as a way to develop our actual, our designed course. So a lot of the information that we have is based on how we would train, because we need to talk about certain elements of his deposition or of the documents in relation to the exercises, if that makes sense.
So are you updating your sample case on the fly as new capabilities come in? Do you have to say, oh, you know, now we have this type of file, I better make a sample type of that file?
Yeah, absolutely. So for Trial Director 6, obviously that was developed over the course of, what, 8-9 years. So we didn't really want to update the packet at that point. But once 360 was launched, we had new workflows, we had different feature sets that we needed to update the packet with. So it was a lot new exercise. It was a lot new exercises that we introduced in with the packet, different workflows, different file formats, different system requirements. It was basically a total revamp of the original exercise packet because it was a brand new software. Also, mm-hmm. All the images that we created, the screen grabs and stuff like that, we had to recreate the wheel essentially for version 360. But I enjoyed doing it, and it was a pleasure. And I'm actually currently updating the packet for some of the new feature sets that are going to be released fairly soon. So,
do you see things? So you go around to law firms and legal departments. Are there things you see lit support staff doing that you think we shouldn't be doing, or that we could do to be more helpful either to our internal clients or to vendors that we're working with? Are there things around training that you feel like, oh, I always see them doing this, and really, if they would just do this instead?
Yeah, it's in relation to trial, it's knowing what you're working with, as well as understanding the complexity of trial. Though you might think that trial is very simple, it's actually it's an insane process. Not only are you just sitting there at a computer, but you're having to think about, what files am I working with here? What are the workflows? And how am I going to translate the information that we have, the evidence that we have that we want to present, to actually presenting it live in front of a jury? How can I enhance the presentation? And how can I get those documents up as soon as possible? The one thing that is kind of not really difficult, but the thing that people don't understand is communication. You know, the paralegals and the attorneys need to communicate on how they want to present their documents and what the program offers to present. So communication is key. And also the types of files that you're working with. You really want to know what files are supported, what files are not supported, and what you can do with files and what you cannot do with files, either inside the product or outside the product. So it's understanding what you're working with, who you're working with, and also using the software as a means to enhance your evidence. And honestly, what it comes down to is, it's not really the software that you have to understand how to use. It's how to showcase that information in front of the jury. The actual software itself, it's as easy as creating a case, importing documents, adding some properties, kind of managing it a little bit here. But the presentation screen is obviously going to win your case. So the documents that you throw up on the screen, if you know how to highlight, if you know how to navigate pages, if you know how to project or call out certain sections, as well as play and pause a DBT clip, that's trial right there. So understanding that it's a crazy world out there. There's a lot of stuff going on, but when it comes to the actual presentation portion, it's very easy. It's very simplistic, but you have to know what you're working with. You have to know who you're working with and how you want to present those documents is the big thing. So communication is key. And also another thing too, that we notice is how their cases prior to trial have been organized. So file naming conventions. How do they manage their documents? They use a case management platform like Casemap, or do they have like an online platform that they use as a desktop application? Where do the files reside? Do they have a network server? How is it organized? How is it detailed? How are they identified? There's a lot of last minute decisions that are made that affect how trial is going to be obviously organized. So if you develop the case first, you use the correct file name conventions, you simplify and organize and also create like a centralized location, basically a repository, you're basically doing half the battle at that point too. So,
okay.
Sorry, that was a lot.
So maybe Lit Support needs to do more training on sort of general document management.
Yeah, I mean, there's,
and
I
don't, they, yeah. Yeah,
and we're not trying to change the practice. We're just giving hints and tips, essentially, of how to develop a case and how to organize a case. It's really based on the scenario, the situation, the audience. You know, a paralegal is going to be very well-versed in case management, but is a trial tech going to be well-versed in, you know, case management? Not necessarily.
Right. And is a paralegal going to think about naming conventions?
Naming conventions, yeah. You know, preemptive trial exhibits, you know, you have the deposition exhibits, you have the production value numbers, the Bates numbers and stuff like that. I mean, there's so many different ways to identify a document even before trial. So how do you incorporate that information into the trial software? So when the attorney is referencing something specifically that may not be marked on the document at that time, well, how do I know what they want? So taking Bates numbers and applying them as a property would be something that you would want to incorporate. File naming conventions, production value numbers, trial exhibit numbers, stuff like that. They're all things to consider. And once you understand as means to manage your documents, whether it's before and or using or before or in the software, then it's going to make presenting just as easy.
So one of the things I struggle with is controlling a classroom, especially when it contains a bunch of attorneys. They're stressed out getting ready for trial. Do you have any tips or tricks on being a better trainer?
Yeah, absolutely. The social aspect of it is big. So obviously knowing who your audience is and relating to them as a person. You know, I'm not just going to be there up in front of them telling them what to do and how to do it. But I want to like sit there right next to them and explain to them the avenues to approach the software and how to case manage and stuff like that. I basically want to become their friend for a day or 2 days or however many days the training is. So you want to develop a relationship, definitely. You want to relate to them. You want to tell them who you are, introduce yourself. And basically, you're just a regular person. And when it comes to the trial software training specifically, they're so desperate that they'll do anything. You really want to hold their hand and let them know that it's okay and let them know how you can be successful. So, you know, you're not above them. You're basically alongside them, and you can tell them, look, I've been in your shoes before and I understand the complexity of trial. And if you need help, we're here to help you. So even as a resource after the training, we want to let them know, hey, I'm available. You can email me. You can call me. We have other resources as well. We have tech support if you're having issues. So let them know that not only are we here for just a training, but we're here to support you guys as a firm. We're here to support you as a trainee. We're here to support you as a hot seater, whatever the case may be. So, and we also want to leave them with something. So we come there with sample files. We come there with our exercise packets. We tell them where we can access additional resources. So if they do find that they need additional ways of doing something or refreshers or workflows, and you know, maybe they didn't jot down all the notes that they can because it's so much information and they were trying to listen at that point, then you give them, you know, everything that they would need to be successful. So you leave with sample files that they can recreate cases with using the exercise packets that we also leave with them as well. Additional resources and stuff like that. And just being there with them in a physical sense versus an online sense is much more impactful. So we make sure that we answer their questions. We make sure that we physically show them, you know, literally like how to connect a VGA from their computer to a projector mm-hmm. screen or HDMI to a projector screen or whatever the case may be. So we want to make sure that they fully feel comfortable, though they might seem uncomfortable, that they at least tell us, I feel better. Thank you so much for coming here. You have no idea how much this meant. You know, if they're satisfied with the material, if they're satisfied with the software, if they're satisfied with case management, in the training itself, then that makes me happy as a trainer. So you definitely want to ask them, Do you understand? Is there any questions? You know, make sure that the pace of the class is a nice flow. Don't go too fast. Don't go too slow. Kind of like that Goldilocks thing, you know, just right, obviously.
Right.
And visual cues. I know that there's different learners out there. You know, some are audio, some are visual. Some can just listen the entire time and don't take any notes and don't need anything actually to see. But you have to be visual, especially when it comes to the trial side of things. You have to make sure that they see what you're talking about. And then you also want to explain.
When it sounds like you're almost doing tactile, right? You're engaging other senses. You're having them touch things, touch the equipment.
Yeah. And that's another thing too, is like our trainings are very hands-on. So we'll come with laptops if we need to. Obviously I bring my own laptop and everything is local. So it's on the desktop. So obviously, you know, in trial, you're not connected to the internet,
right.
You might have a hotspot or something, but you don't want to use an open source network like the court Wi-Fi. You're basically, it's you and your laptop, and
right. You
need to understand the computer. You want to make sure they feel comfortable with using a laptop. Every keyboard is different. Every laptop is different. There's system requirements. There's different ways of doing things. So, and we have to sometimes explain the differences between a left click and a right click. So not only is it the software that we're training on, the case management as well, but it's also sometimes computer training because we want to make sure that they're comfortable going to trial. And it's very physical. It's very labor intensive. It's not just the software itself. It's not just the clicks, but it's, you know, sometimes it's connecting their laptop to a projector screen. We'll come in with additional hardware if we need to. We have recommended hardware to use in trial. And it's how to set up your screens, how to set up your room for trial and stuff like that. It's very visual. It's very physical. You know, we'll tell them how to tape down their cords.
Cables, yeah.
So, you know, you don't want it to be all over the place. You want it to be uniform and lined up. And
right. Obviously
you don't want people to trip on it and stuff like that. So there's a lot of elements that go on with our trainings. But I think with the amount of information that we give, both physical and software and hands-on, they really feel comfortable after that. And it's, yes, it's intense. And yes, it's, you know, it's the pressure is there from the attorneys. But I think, you know, there's a reason why they paid X amount of dollars for us to come on site or for them to come to our location, because they need it. And they're desperate. And with them being desperate, they have to be there. They have to pay attention. They have no other choice because they want to perform. And trial is the last stage. And if you mess up, you could lose the case. You know, it's not the evidence that you have. It's how you present that evidence. That in my eyes, it's that makes or breaks a case. So, I mean, obviously their evidence is a big part of it, but it's really how you showcase that evidence in front of that jury. You know, you want to make sure that they're paying attention. You want to make sure that they're understanding what you're talking about. And that's what our trainings incorporate. So.
All right, great. Well, I think that's a great note for us to end on. So I'd like to thank everyone for listening. And I hope you listen to the other podcasts in this series. And thank you very much, Ethan, for taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate your time and thank you for the invite.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.